The college position is that the whole of general practice funding should be reviewed, and the targeting system that we know as a VLCA be replaced with a more equitable system that focuses on funding people in greatest need. In other words, funding following the patient, not the practice. So the college's position on VLCA is, and has always been, that we are not in favour of the system because it doesn't meet those criteria.
Yeah. I mean, the college has a policy of promoting equity, doesn't it?
Correct.
Is VLCA equitable?
Of course not. And therein lies the problem, which is what we have been saying for a number of years now, and what we have been advocating to the Minister of Health and on multiple occasions, including as recently as yesterday.
That's the college's position. What's your personal view of VLCA? Is it any different from that?
My personal view on VLCA is exactly the same. I consider it to be an inequitable system which does not achieve the function for which it was set up to do. And in that sense, it's completely inappropriate. And within my own practice, we have patients who could very easily afford the full primary care fee who are being subsidised by VLCA. Patients elsewhere that I know of who aren't able to access VLCA, who should be. And that is an absurd scenario at a personal level and at a practice level, at a PHO level, and at a national level under any circumstances.
Do you think it was always flawed, or was there a time when it was fit for purpose?
I think it's always been flawed, and I think that the government were warned at the time that they would run the risk of a pepper pottering type of process, and that would create its own inequities. Over time, those inequities have become more and more obvious and completely inappropriate.
I guess that now begs the question of what happens next. Do you think it should be retained in some form or scrapped in its entirety?
I think it should be scrapped in its entirety, and have always believed that. The person who doesn't believe that is the Minister of Health. And when the Minister of Health says we under no circumstances are we going to change the current funding model, it makes it very difficult to enter any form of negotiation or change in process. It is simply a decree by the funder. And so ultimately, the views expressed subsequently have been, well, if you can't fix it properly, what interim measures might you be able to consider that would actually at least address some of the inequities for the most deprived patients in this country? And to date, even a transitional arrangement of any sort has been denied by the Minister.
Now, you told Mike Hosking from News Talk ZB in November that this was too complicated to change VLCA in a single step, and you favour some sort of two-tier process. Can you explain what you mean by that?
At no stage have I favoured VLCA, and when I spoke, I was expressing the view that in the absence of a genuine funding review, which is what we're actually asking for, that a stepped process of change would be at least something rather than do nothing, which is exactly what's happened. The something that was considered was by the Minister as a possibility but never actioned was the potential for new funding to meet the needs of those patients who met deprivation criteria but were not in VLCA practices, because it was unpalatable for him to remove the funding from those people who would not be deprived but are currently receiving the benefits of the VLCA funding because they belong to certain practices. So that political expedience was the issue around considering alternative options.
If VLCA was retained in some form as a kind of stopgap to avoid this dramatic change that you think could make things worse, how long do you think that should be for?
I don't think it should be retained at all. That is not the position that I'm considering. I think we should change the system now. I think, personally, that the onus is on the politicians and the Ministry of Health and the government to review funding in its entirety, including both capitation and VLCA and all of the associated funding streams, immediately.
And you've told the Minister this?
I have told the Minister this. I have also shared those concerns with my fellow GP leaders and the General Practice Leaders Forum, and the net result is that we are in the process of saying enough is enough. And the General Practice Leaders Forum is currently planning how we will engage with both our general practitioners, our practices, and our sector, but more importantly, with the public of New Zealand, to run a campaign to address the issue of underfunding of our patient subsidies in primary care. And we're going to run that campaign both with our stakeholders and within the public domain throughout the rest of the political cycle.
How do you avoid that that dramatic change that you spoke to Mike Hosking about, that could cause more problems than it's worth? How I think possibly that's the perception that some people have, is that you were talking about keeping VLCA for some time while something was sorted out. Is that not correct?
This was an option that was being considered by the minister that I was talking about. Therein lies the confusion, right. I think. This was not my idea. This was a possible solution that was under consideration to actually fund the more deprived patients outside of VLCA. But the problem with that, of course, is that it would need new money, or it would be taking money from somewhere else. And that proved too difficult. And so as a consequence, nothing has changed. We find that, and I find that, completely unacceptable. And in my opinion, because this is an issue of equity, we need to take this into the public domain, and we need to act as an advocate on behalf of the most deprived patients of New Zealand so that cost access barriers are diminished, not maintained.
Are you expecting any changes to VLCA to be announced in the next budget?
No.
Is there a role in all of this, do you think, for the Community Services Card?
I'm aware that the Ministry of Health is doing some work, exploring their options, and one of those options is how they could use the Community Service Card, which still exists, more effectively than they currently do.
How many VLCA practices do you own?
One.
You own six practices in all?
No, I own one practice.
Okay.
At six sites, is that what you mean?
Okay, all right. Do you have a conflict of interest in your role as college president, debating the future of VLCA, running a VLCA practice with six sites?
I don't think I have any more conflict of interest in debating how my practice is funded than any other general practice or general practitioner has in discussing whether we should do a review of capitation funding or similar. We are all funded by one stream or another in primary care, and primary care funding is dear to all of our hearts. I feel that I am as entitled to talk about that and have a view as anybody else.
Has anyone ever suggested to you that you might have a conflict of interest?
not to my face.
Do you sympathise with GPs in access practices who say they can't compete with nearby VLCA practices but are prevented from joining the VLCA framework?
Absolutely. So much so that I went and volunteered my time to try to find solutions for practices in this precise predicament. In the past, working with their PHO to see if there was a way that we could address the inequity that occurred at a local level. Unfortunately, we weren't able to facilitate an outcome, but at least we tried.
And lastly, do you think the general public understands the equity issue around VLCA?
No, I do not believe that the general public understand it at all. In fact, I don't think the general public understand how their general practice fee is arrived at all. I don't think they understand the extent to which the government subsidises them. I don't think they understand the overall cost structure of primary care. But I think the onus is on us to make them understand that and to help them to see why there is a problem that they confront when they actually have to pay a fee that represents a barrier to them accessing good health care. And I think that it behoves us as a profession and as a sector to ensure that they do understand it adequately, because it clearly has political implications and they are entitled to be as informed as any other member of the public.
And will you, as president of the college, be pushing this issue, representing those views in this year, being election year?
At the last annual general meeting of the college, a mandate was sought and a mandate was provided to me to act in the domain of general practice funding in order for us to meet our true roles of training and quality. Because it's very clear that it's very difficult to provide a quality service and to be significantly engaged with training for general practice and general primary care if there isn't adequate resourcing to provide an environment for that to occur. So that mandate was acknowledged, and on that basis I will be advocating aggressively, as I do in every forum that I work in, for more resourcing for general practice, including in the General Practice Leaders Forum, which I chair, and including PSAP, which is the negotiating body for the primary care contract, which I am the General Practice Leaders Forum, one of the General Practice Leaders Forum representatives.